The best way to give someone a gift they'll never forget is to give a gift they'll always use. American Giant makes clothes that just keep getting better with age, like their iconic full-zip hoodie that's designed to last for decades. And a gift they'll wear for years is a gift that keeps on giving. But American Giant makes a lot more than just hoodies. They have impossibly comfy sweaters, classic t-shirts, soft, structured sweatpants, even classic everyday denim, all made right here in the USA, with a quality you'll have to feel to believe. Be a gift-giving giant this holiday season at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code GRATEFULAG23. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code GRATEFULAG23.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, welcome and good evening. And you are not listening to Pastor Ernie Sanders. Pastor Ernie is still a little under the weather. You're listening to Pastor Joe Larson and sitting in with for him tonight. And I have some help. I have on the board, Style. And good evening, Style. I'm glad you're there keeping us out of trouble.
Thank you. Good evening.
And with me, my co-host tonight, Randy Gay, Randy the deacon at Doers of the Word Church. Good evening, Randy.
Good evening, Pastor Joe. Good evening, Style. Be blessed. No stress, everybody. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I like hearing that. All right. Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer for a Bible study. Now, I thought that's kind of a big topic, and when I was looking at it, I realized it's a huge topic, so the trouble was narrowing it down. But I'm going to do something different tonight, Randy. I'm going to go back in history, and I want to look at two presidents. December 1950, President Harry Truman did a Christmas address. It was December 22nd. And then I'm going to slip over and talk a little bit about a December 24 address in 1953 by one President Dwight Eisenhower.
What about Christmas 2023? What about that guy? What did he do?
Well, I heard the Biden White House put out Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and no mention of Jesus, the Christian holiday, just a simple secular greeting.
So Jesus, I guess.
Where were countries headed? Down the toilet.
Jesus is not the reason for the season, right?
Not according to them.
Okay.
So let's take a little trip back in history.
Sure.
Now, I'm not going to do the entire speech, but they start off, talking about all over the world, men, women, children preparing to celebrate. This is Harry Truman. Celebrate what? The birthday of Christ. And he's talking about how important Christmas is. And he's not talking about family dinners. He said, I'm talking about the quiet, reverent celebration of faith and hope and love, born in a manger in Bethlehem. And he goes on, and he's starting off, it's about Christ. It's about faith, hope, and love. From a president. And then he goes on, he said, At this Christmas time, we should renew our faith in God. We celebrate the hour in which God came to man. It is fitting that we should turn to him. And I skip a little bit here. And then he said, all of us at home or at war, wherever we may be, are within God's love and power. We all can pray. We all should pray. And he goes on to talk about what we should pray for. The fulfillment of God's will is one of the things he brings up. Courage, wisdom, and quiet and peace for the soul. Pray for the peace, which is the fruit of righteousness. So here, he said, this nation is in the midst of a crusade of prayer. Wow. Because of the war, the nation is in the midst of a crusade of prayer. I call upon all of you to enlist in this common cause. I call upon you, no matter what your spiritual allegiance, we are all joined in the fight against the tyranny of communism. Communism is godless. Democracy is the harvest of faith. Faith in what? Oneself, faith in one neighbor, and especially faith in our God.
Boy, a lot's happened, hasn't it, in 70 years, hasn't it? A lot's happened.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump 3 years. Let's just go to 53, Dwight David Eisenhower. The men were quite different, but they had much in common. And it starts off, he starts off talking to his fellow Americans, and Christmas is, you know, the birth of Christ. And then he jumps and he talks about the world still stands divided into two antagonistic parts. More precisely than any other way, prayer places freedom and communism in opposition one to the other. The communist can find no reserve of strength in prayer because his doctrine, of course, is different. It denies the dignity of man and consequently the existence of God. But in America, George Washington, and he goes on, he talks about the values there in the winter Ford, Valley Forge. When the cause of liberty was so near defeat, his recourse was sincere and earnest prayer. Sincere and earnest prayer. And from it he received what? Hope, strength, and purpose, which grew into the freedom that we can now celebrate during this Christmas season. As religious faith is the foundation of free government, so is prayer indispensably a part of that faith. Would it not be fitting for each of us to speak in prayer to the Father of all men and women on this earth, to ask that he help us and teach us and strengthen us and receive our thanksgiving? Should we not pray that he help us? Help us to remember that the founders of this, our country, came first to these shores in search of religious freedom. Help us to cherish freedom for each of us and for all our nation. Might we not pray that he teach us? And he went on a little bit to explain that. Then he said, and may we pray that he strengthen us, in understanding of ourselves and others and our homes, our country, and our world. Lastly, should we not pray that he receive our thanks? For certainly we are grateful for all the good we find about us, for the opportunities given to us, our strength and our faith to meet the problems of the hour. And on this Christmas Eve, all hearts in America are filled with special thanks to God. And he goes on to talk about, the birth of Christ and that we are no longer spilling blood upon the battlefields abroad. Oh. When I was preparing for this and reading, those speeches touched my, like I skipped a few lines here and there, but those speeches really touched my heart.
But
those were leaders. They weren't preachers. They were leaders of a great nation. A nation what? Founded upon faith. Our founders told us that our legal system was based on the Ten Commandments of God. that all our institutions of law and government were based on the Ten Commandments of God, the teachings of the New Testament. And they even were quoting the Bible, like Isaiah 22:33. I turn those around sometimes. God is king, judge, and lawgiver. The basis of the creation of our nation, the separation of powers. And I notice we don't teach that anymore, do we?
We don't even talk about it anymore. If you think about it, when is the last time you heard a politician say God in any way, shape, or form? We don't see God. We don't see God as a purpose. He's not a creator. He's not a purpose. He's not a cause. God is non-existent. It's sad.
In his Christmas, mentioned Jesus and the reason for the season, but I'm just think of the world in general. So tonight we're going to go after the break into our Bible study, but I wanted to start with that because you and I can remember that world.
Oh, yeah. But could Eisenhower or Truman even have gotten elected with the attitude that Biden has today? He couldn't have even gotten it. Because he'd have had to have campaigned acknowledging God. And guess what? You know, they don't now.
The Democratic Party would have ever, but let him run.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it is a tragedy and a travesty as well, too. It's sad.
It is. It's such a shame because America, you and I were talking before the show, we remember back when we were young, the world was a kinder, gentler place, was a safer place, a nicer place.
Sure.
And it really would take us quite a while to explain to somebody the difference between then and now, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and if nothing else, let's call it the consensus of things. You know, we were talking earlier, I was thinking about the fact that, like, first off, you know, my father and mother made us go to church. We had to go to Sunday school and church. They went too. And
our whole town was at church when I was young. I mean, there were a few people, but I mean, basically, most of the town was in a church somewhere Sunday morning. You could see people walking, driving, even in snowstorms, people would, you know, walk to the local church if they couldn't get to theirs, but there was a closer church, they would walk through the snow to get to church.
You know what? I don't think I've seen a nativity scene this season. And not a nativity scene.
Not in the stores, not out.
Not in the stores. I saw where somebody somewhere just gave theirs away. One of the insurance companies gave theirs away to some museum.
Museum.
Yeah, to some museum. They gave it away, you know. And I'm sure that most children today, probably under 10, wouldn't know what a nativity scene really was. They really
wouldn't. We talked about, I mentioned this the other night on the radio, more children in the world know about Santa Claus and Rudolph and the North Pole than know about Jesus. So we have a problem, and what's the answer? Prayer. When I was looking it up, there are about 107 verses on prayer. There are 306 verses about pray.
Yes.
You know, for you to pray. And the use of pray in Scripture is usually written, pray thee, which means ask earnestly. Ask earnestly.
That's right.
So I want to start, and I'm going to do a few verses starting in the Old Testament, and then I'll read some and you read some.
All right, sounds good.
We're just going to let God explain prayer to the people. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me. It's a plan.
1 Kings in chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 54 and go down. And it was so that when Solomon made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given us rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him. What? to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers.
And you notice he knelt. He knelt when he prayed. That's something
he
else.
When he prayed.
Knelt when he prayed. He was in submission, the position of submission, and, you know.
Praying for the people.
That's exactly right, for people.
Oh, a king, a great mighty man on his knees praying for his people. A little opposite of our president.
That's right.
Anyway, he said, and let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night. Now, supplication is prayer, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. That's one of those phrases. There is no other gods out there. There is no other God. The world has a lot of things we substitute for gods or idols or anything that we make special in our lives becomes a god. But there is only one true God. There are no other gods, and that could be a whole other Bible story. So why don't you take over in 1 Kings chapter 9?
Sure. That the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in the integrity of heart and in the uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I have promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But
now, can I stop you there
sure.
for a second?
Sure.
Now, I realize we don't have a king in America. The people are sovereign. We are the sovereigns, and the politicians, the elected officials are supposed to represent us. But it's the concept that if we are following God's statutes, judgments, commandments, laws, he will bless with the proper government, with the proper leadership. But he threw a but in there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Starts in verse 6.
But if you shall at all, and it's at all, turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And isn't that kind of what America is now? I mean, people.
We are the promised land for Christians, right?
Right.
Exactly. God gave us this great land, America, for what? It was founded by Christians.
But people are laughing at us now.
Mm-hmm.
They're laughing at us. They're laughing at us about the laws we have, the things we cherish and acknowledge. They're laughing at us about, as my father used to say, people here have so many rights that it's wrong. I mean, the absurdity of open borders, the absurdity of more than two genders, and then more than that, protecting them. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. The legalization of...
The message still, when we fall away from him, the outcome is not good, is it?
No, it's not. And God promised he would cut us off. And we are, I won't say slowly, we are rapidly sinking. Rapidly.
We are in the middle of a revolution. We are in the middle of a communist revolution.
You are absolutely right.
And we still have people who do not realize it's a revolution. But underneath it all, it's a spiritual battle. Good versus evil. Christ against the Antichrist system, which is communism, right?
That's right. That is exactly right. And see, think about it. What's interesting is that You read earlier about the other presidents talking about the things that basically destroyed communism, and now they're back and in the driver's seat.
Because they're within. The enemy is now not outside, but within.
Well, think about it. The children of those kings now have turned away from God, and God's doing what he promised he would do.
Yep. I'm going to skip a couple of things, just time. There were a lot of things. Why don't you take a look at Psalm, the two Psalms you have?
Okay, the two Psalms, Psalm 6, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord hath heard my supplication, and the Lord will receive my prayer. Boy, isn't that almost archaic now? And Psalm 66.
Yeah, but it's true.
Let's see, that's Psalm 66, verse 19. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Wasn't there a time when America was great and God attended to the voice and we were the missionaries of the world and the exemplary people with worship?
And prayer to him.
Sure, with worship and prayer and reverence towards God, and our laws reflected that. And now... In a 20-year period, we've gone from that really to, is there even a God, is the question.
Well, we look at these new, churches with the gay bishops and the lesbian co-pastor, two married lesbians co-pastoring, quote, what they call a church. It's not a church anymore. And we see, these churches promoting sin, accepting everything God calls sin. Yeah, well, what does God say? In Psalm 90, it's from everlasting to everlasting, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. All generations. He's been the dwelling place of his people. So, I'm going to jump to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 38. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. God heard an earnest prayer, a prayer, a repentant prayer. He heard the tears. He had seen the tears. He understood it was from the heart. And he gave a wonderful, marvelous gift of a little more life on for this man. Then in Isaiah 56, in verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer. What? For all people.
And isn't it interesting in the institutions, isn't it interesting in the institutions that we have removed prayer? Like the schools, they're mm-hmm. they're cesspools and unsafe now.
Yeah, and the school is an unsafe place for children.
that's exactly right. It's a cesspool. I mean, it's a breeding ground for the worst type of heresy, the worst type of lifestyle, morality. What I can't understand is what's happened here. How a woman will say who's 60 years old, who's raised four kids and successfully raise them to grow up and be whatever they become and that sort of thing, will let a 24-year-old teacher who's never had a kid take over and tell their kids that they can be anything they want to be, including a cat, dog, orange, or another sex. It is totally ridiculous and outrageous. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit here and we let it happen. I mean, being anything you could want to be. I wonder how many people can pass calculus. you can't be anything you want to be.
Most people don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, I mean, how are you going to be anything? Or even something more. Everybody can't be an undertaker. Who can handle that? Everybody can't handle that. Everybody couldn't handle caring for the aged. That's stressful in other types of ways, and it takes another kind of heart. Who can work around? Everybody can't work around sick children. That would crush me. That would just I couldn't take that. I couldn't.
But we're all different. Well, they called us lively stones. You notice in the Old Testament, God had the altars built with stones that were not carved. Why?
Right. That's right.
Because each one was individual, different, but builded what? A sacred altar. And then he called us lively, living stones because we're all what? Like those stones in the altar, different.
So true.
Right?
So
Instead
true.
Instead of being cookie cutter made like bricks, like they want with equity and inclusion, he wanted us to be all like the natural living stones, lively stones, all different because we all have a different purpose, a different place. And I think we're getting ready for a little break here. When we come back, we're going to just continue with our Bible study a little bit. We've got a couple more things I definitely want to get to, and we'll just change up a little bit tonight, Randy.
All right, sound good.
What does Style say? How many minutes do we, or what portion of a minute do we have?
We're good to go.
We're good to go. Let's have a little break.
All right.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. That heavenly prize, it's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you.
Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders tonight, and we want to thank you. You have been following and praying for him, and I just ask you to keep holding him up in your prayers. He was really, really sick, and he's starting to feel a little better. I think today he had the first meal he's had since Monday, I believe, so he's been quite ill. And we do appreciate, we believe in prayer. That's one of the reasons I guess I'm talking about tonight. But going to interrupt, we've got a caller because there was an announcement I needed to make. And we have Bill on the line to has an announcement about Tactical Civics. Bill, are you there?
I am here.
I didn't get your last name. Sorry, somewhere didn't get passed on to me.
Okay, well, it's Bill Wilds.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been with Tactical Civics for a while, and I am praying for Pastor Ernie. I heard he's pretty darn sick, and I'm sure he's going to be better soon. Very exciting. Doesn't sound like he's going to be there tomorrow, but we are going to be at his church with Tactical Civics 7, and we're going to explain the Tactical Civics plan to take America the Christian way, the right way, and the peaceful, lawful way. So love to see people there that want to learn how to do that.
And that is going to be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, right? Do you have the address,
yes,
or do you want me to give it?
I don't have the address, but it is Doers of the Word outside of Newberry.
Well, the address is 14781, 14781 Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road there in Newberry, Ohio, and maybe you or Randy could tell the folks what the closest cross street is.
No, I was going to say, Bill, would you give them a little bit of an overview on Tactical Civics? Because there may be some people that haven't been listening, and they can just have a little bit of an overview. Obviously, like, I'm a member of Tactical Civics as well, so, you know, but if you could just
give
them.
Awesome.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. It's our Constitution is our highest law, and I like to keep it as simple as possible because when you actually read through 4,000 words, you know, it's just the problem is that we have let, you know, we haven't done our duty. We haven't repented for our sin of not actually enforcing our highest law. It's been up to us all along. A lot of us just didn't know that. And so a lot of us have decided, you know, we're going to repent, and we're going to learn how. And the Tactical Civics guys are a group of guys that put together the detail of how, exactly how, to go into each county and at each county level take back our country in the lawful way, just actually just enforcing our Constitution using the grand juries and the county militias, which are the lawful tools of enforcing the Constitution to just take back the counties. And you know, if these criminals want to act like criminals, well, then we're going to find them and indict them and, you know, put them in jail if that's what they need to do, you know. There's you know, some good people in politics that we can, you know, and also prove that they're good. You know, that's the great thing about our country is we have the law on our side. We just have to go out and learn actually how to use it. And that is what Tactical Civics have done. It's a group of guys that, well, guys and ladies, I should say, but that have actually sat down, spent, you know, 12 to 15 years studying, well, how exactly is this supposed to work? They got a plan. And we're just going to, you know, show people and explain the basic concepts of the plan and then look for people that want to sign up and help us make it happen.
And the great part about Tactical Civics is that it transcends, the Tactical Civics transcends really kind of party affiliation. If you're interested in America and preserving our way of life, our culture, our way of having things run and legislated, then I think that, like, this is a place where we can all sort of kind of meet in the middle on certain things. Maybe not on issues, of course not, but at the same time, we do want to preserve our system, our Republican form of government.
Yes, sir. That is what it's all about. It's our law.
Well, Bill,
just keep it simple.
Bill, I was just thinking, I can't remember which founding father, but it was one of the early ones in the Supreme Court. They had said it's not the duty of the government to keep the citizen in line. It is the duty of the citizen to keep the government in line.
Yep. Yes,
and that's what
that
you're doing, isn't it? The idea
that
of the
is
civics
exactly
is the people are taking back their government.
Yep. at the colony level versus where it's supposed to be.
Also, the snacks are pretty good at the meeting, too. They have pretty good snacks.
So,
you try to live out past early, being there may not be quite as good as snacks, but okay. You never know.
So, Tactical Civics Meeting, and all are welcome to come tomorrow at 7 p.m., Doers of the Word Baptist Church there, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry. And do you have any idea how long it'll last? They'll be there in an hour and a half?
We got an hour and a half max. That's what we try to stick to. Sometimes we have to do a little bit of fun, and then it gets a little longer, you know. But we try to keep it short as we can because we know people are busy, and we know people want to learn. They're there to learn, so it's usually a great crowd.
Okay, well, we'll welcome everybody, and I thank you for calling and giving us that announcement, Bill. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a fantastic rest of your evening, and like I said, we'll keep Pastor Ernie in our prayers, and we hope to see as many people as possible there tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you. Randy, let's jump. I want you to, if you would, read Daniel 9:13-14.
Sure, you got it. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, and yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truths. Therefore, hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And while I was yet speaking, and if you notice that these prayers, folks, that we're going through are sincere prayers from the hearts of people, as well as prayers that the ear of the Lord is attentive to. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandments came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision.
Yep. Daniel went and earnestly prayed for help, prayed for not only his sin, the sin of his people, made his supplication, and what is that last line? The commandment came forth from God.
That's right.
Through Gabriel.
That's right.
And prayer was answered. There are so many things in the scripture we could work for days on some of this prayer stuff, but I want to jump forward. Ephesians 6:18.
Okay.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, for the fellow born-again believers, all the saints. Now, I was once asked, what is praying always?
It doesn't mean kneeling down and praying, praying with your total concentration, just given to the one thing, one-track mind and nothing else. What praying always is that's your attitude. You are constantly acknowledging. I think they didn't the pilgrims call it practicing the presence of God, that God is there.
Yeah, like on a trip.
When you're
on the trip, you get to where you're going, you just thank you for the traveling mercies, Lord. That's a prayer of thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
It's a short prayer. You didn't have to pray all the 2 hours you're driving, but it's keeping, as you do things in your life during your daily routine, acknowledging God.
That's right. And don't close your eyes when you're driving, when you're praying either.
Okay. No praying with your eyes shut. Yeah, just looking at the time, I want to just look. We may have to take up this Bible study at a later date because I can see where we could spend a lot of time on it. And I'm going to do one verse, and then I want to have you read one.
Okay.
Romans 12:12. It's listed. listed in Scripture, the mark of a true Christian, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing always in hope, patient during tribulations, and continuing instant in prayer. In other words, praying as it's needed. And the verse I want you to read is Matthew 21:13, because it's where we're going to take off from.
Okay.
Read that.
And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.
All right, that's Jesus himself, and I notice it's in all the Gospels. I saw it at least three times. It might be more. But when I read this, boy, what came to my mind, Randy, was the prosperity churches that are out there. They have taken the house of prayer and made it what? A den of thieves. They've got their big, huge buildings and auditoriums and orchestras and big movie screens, everything but what?
Well, I can't help but not move away from this, but there is a huge scandal in that thing going on right now.
There's
a huge scandal. And it's primarily in the black portion of the scandal, but YouTube has been saturated, and I'm finding other sources now, too, even the media, about the T.D. Jakes scandal of his alleged, and I'm going to say this, that it's just breaking. It broke on Christmas Eve, really, the fact that he came on and somewhat addressed it. But he has been attending, apparently, P. Diddy's parties. They've formed like a fellowship and allegedly even let's call it a man-boy love relationship. He has
calls it sodomy.
Yeah, exactly. And there are numerous people talking over the internet about it, and there are like three young men that have lawsuits now against him. And it's the irony of this is that a year ago on YouTube there was a woman. Let me see, and I think I wrote her name down. But this was on September 21st, 2022. Her name, this is Patty Jackson. And anyway, but they prophesied that T.D. Jakes would be involved in a scandal, that it would involve his sexual identity, that long story short, that this was going to culminate in his death. And what's interesting is that it's breaking, and let's just see where this thing goes. And I'm not saying that this is valid, whatever it is or not, because the big problem I have with a lot of this is that a lot of these people use the term, he calls himself Bishop T.D. Jakes. Well, okay, I can kind of wink it, but there's some people on this thing calling themselves apostles. And what I'd like to point out is that if anybody says that they're an apostle, you need to run from them like you would somebody with I don't know, you know, the flu or COVID or something. For the simple reason that the criteria for being an apostle, nobody alive today can have that. It's that you have to have been with. Let's go to Acts. It's Acts chapter 1. If you go to Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, it says this. It says, and this is where Peter is basically choosing between, Joseph and Matthias. And he says, wherefore these men which have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us. So you had to have been with them all the time Jesus went out among them, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness of us, of his resurrection. So that means you have to have seen the resurrected Christ as well. And I don't think anybody walking around today has been with them from the baptism of John, and then that they were there when he was taken up, and that they have even seen the resurrected Christ. If you notice, it's interesting to me, you'll see people every now and then give these testimonies, and they'll say, oh, I saw the face of Jesus. Well, the Bible says he was marred more than any other man. That's the biggest description. And then the one in Revelation, which people totally misinterpret because they use similes. They say like fire, like burnished bronze, like, we don't know what John saw. We don't. It was relative to his terms. You're talking about a guy who had no knowledge of anything mechanized, not bombs, not the type of things, the types of things that we have today. So he said, like fire. Well, that could be
like
anything. That could be anything. You know, like brass. Like. Okay, but you got
brass, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is a man, though.
Example he could give at the time, but it's the idea. Scripture makes it clear we do not know what Christ looks like, but we know that we shall be
like
him.
Like he is. That's exactly right.
We're called home.
You know, and we know that. So at any rate, this is going on now, and he is he has addressed it. He said, I won't address it in his statement on Christmas Eve, which means that he did address it on Christmas Eve, because if you said you won't address it, you addressed it.
That's happening, but I won't address it.
Right.
That's
exactly
that's
right.
It's like a Biden thing.
And so you can't run with people like that. That's why they say abstain from all appearances of evil. Yes, ministers are called to a higher standard, and we have to do that. And I'm not trying to slam dunk and lampoon this guy or mess it up.
He's not in the good pastor list. He's in the list that we call hirelings.
Well, that's exactly right. And he's in the list. And the other thing is that he does not acknowledge the Trinity. And if your doctrine is wrong, there's usually something wrong in your life, whether it's money or women or song or drugs or whatever, or men, whatever it is. You cannot have unsound doctrine and live a very sound life doctrinally. You just can't do that.
Amen. Well, we just call them hirelings. They're there for the money. They're paid whores. We're going to skip. We're going to go on to something a little different here.
Sound good to me.
And we're going to concentrate tonight, Randy, on economics, but with a different view. Do you know who Cloward Priven, who they are? By any chance?
Say it again now.
Cloward Piven. Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Okay, well, you're in good company because most people never heard of them. They're liberal socialists, and they devised back in 1966 a 8-step plan. And the plan was for the overloading of the U.S. public welfare system in order to precipitate a crisis that would lead to a replacement of the welfare system with a new national system and lead to a national government, not a constitutional republic, but bring about a, what did Obama say? Oh, it was a total transformation of America. Okay, these were two liberal, one of them was a college professor. And anyway, I'm going to cut this in short. Their 8-step plan, health care. Control health care, you control the people. Oh, what did Obama put in? Government health care, right?
Yes, sir.
Poverty, increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control. Will not fight back if you are providing everything for them. How many million people have we had coming across the border just during Joe Biden's term? Something like 9 million now?
They don't know. That's how many.
And the poverty is coming in droves, right? Well, the mayor of Chicago is declaring it a national crisis. The mayor of New York is calling it a crisis. We can't handle it. We're in trouble. You know, the system is breaking. We're hearing that all over. The system is breaking, right? Well, one of their parts of their strategy to collapse America, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. Oh, that way you are able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Increasing taxes produces more poverty. Bringing debt to an unsustainable level. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of the top economists in the world, in this country. This level that we have is unsustainable. Thank you. And gun control. Remove the ability of the people to defend themselves from the government. That paves the way to create a police state. Welfare. control of every aspect of a person's life. Food, housing, income. Isn't that what we're doing with all these illegal immigrants? They're calling it immigrants. They're illegal aliens. But isn't that what they're doing, Randy?
Well, sure. But I mean, to me, I'll tell you how you could stop the immigration deal right away. But this is exactly what they're not doing. They ought to make it where you got to be a citizen to get aid, period. And all of a sudden,
close the border and kick everybody out.
That'd be better than having a wall down there. Is it? Come on, because you know about the 7,000 that are coming up from Ecuador through Mexico right now.
Oh, it's more. They're gaining. Sure. It's over 9,000 now, and they expect it to be 15.
Oh yeah, and I mean, like, we don't know because they don't count them. They just let them in. I mean, how do you know? The other thing that's happening here that people forget about is that they're bringing in diseases that we eradicated because these people are totally, there's been nothing done in their countries to get rid of things like whooping cough and polio and all. So all that stuff's coming here. It's here now.
Well, doesn't that also break down the welfare system because all these people will need medical aid? And they will apply then for what? Government health care. See, that ties in with government health care.
Well, think about the fact they're building housing for them. They're building housing for them right now.
Education.
Yep.
Take control of what people read and listen to us to take control of what children learn in school. Oh, Pastor Ernie, 45 years ago, homeschool your children. Get them out of the public school system. I've been talking for 30-something plus years, don't let the devil educate your children. The devil's running the school system through the unions. And so we've already let the, take control of what the children learn. Next is number 9, or let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. Been there, done that, haven't we?
Absolutely. And how can you have hope without God? If you have no support system, whether it's parents or anything, how can you?
They want you to put your hope in the government, Randy. Well, you and I don't want to do that, but some people, that's all they have. And last is class warfare. Divide the people.
That's true.
This will cause discontent. And then they go on to divide the people wealthy and the poor. It'd be easier to tax the wealthy to support the poor, which gives you control over votes. In other words, you're buying votes, giving government benefits. You get votes. You get votes. And also in that divide, they forgot, through culture Marxism, they said, well, divide people, the battle, like there was a battle for a while with male and female. There was a battle with young and old. We've had the trouble, trying to divide us black and white, and now they're trying to divide us by whether we're straight, normal, or we're LGBTQ, et cetera, et cetera. Although I can't remember all the alphabet letters in it.
You know what, Joe? I'd like to comment on that because I had. So how much time we got? Okay, I'll be real quick. That I talked with an illegal, who was with his cousin. That I happen to know, and I won't get into all that. Long story short, he told me that they looked more to the Republicans as the exemplary Americans because that was the lifestyle they came here to embrace. So I said there might be a glimmer of hope in this whole thing about letting them come in here and the Democrats won't get the votes because they see Americans, they see a Republican people with traditional values and, conservative values as being more what they see as an American,
Well, that's a case of going to God in prayer. We're coming up on a break, and when we come back, we're going to have a short clip.
Yeah.
So don't go away. There's a lot more coming. Take it away, Style.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's do this. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Ernie Sanders. We ask that you would put your healing hands on him and bring him back to us as soon as possible. Thank you, Lord, for letting Pastor Joe and I have the privilege of representing you tonight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left. the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon Recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.